What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Langford, a blast to left. If it's fair, it's gone. It's bending towards the pole. It's a fair ball into the second deck. A two-run monster mash by Wyatt Langford. And the Rangers lead 8-1.
Four home runs, double-digit runs scored, and you avoid the sweep. Still not an overall positive weekend for your Texas Rangers. They beat Toronto 10-4 in the finale yesterday, but they're now 5.5. It was 3.5 last week. Now you're 5.5 back in the wild card, 7.5 back in the West with the Kansas City Royals, who are starting to roll a little bit beginning tonight on this radio station. This is Sean Sharif and Bobby Bell. Choppy is out on vacay this week. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube with Cowboys Legit or Loco coming up at 7:20.
Hopefully Wyatt's starting to figure it out a little bit. Hopefully he's settled into somewhat of a groove. He's got, since you look back at July 27th, so these 19 games, he's hitting 290 over the last 19 games. OPS is still down at around 859, so it's not the big power numbers that you want to see, but he's starting to hit it a little bit more. You're starting to see a little bit more of the power. You're starting to see some of the, you know, you've got the plate patience still, everything else, but man, it's just, if you could get consistently the guy that you thought Wyatt Langford was going to be based on what you saw in April, this team would look wildly different.
Forget Wyatt, forget Simeon, forget Berger, forget anyone on the field.
We got Rowdy Tellez, damn it.
No. Oh. We have Mike Bacsik. Coach Balsack, he was afraid to say it on big-time local television, but they asked Mike to channel what you remember from the KMC masterpiece in the Rangers pregame in order to get this team going.
All right, so if you followed me for my career on 105.3 The Fan as a sports talk radio host, you knew that I got a nickname here in Toronto, and I will say it was Coach B. I will not say the rest of that because I don't think I can. But hey, this is it. You have 38 games left, and I don't care about games 37, 36, 35, all those anymore. I care about today, and I care about one pitch at a time. When we get on that bus after the game today and after every game, I want you to feel so mentally tired you have to go to sleep because you worked so hard on every second of this game to be the best possible player that you could be for your team. And when this is over, we can be something special. You guys know what 23 was about. A lot of guys were here on 23. You'll be remembered forever for 23. You don't want to be remembered for what's happening right now in 2025. You can change the script. There's time. Time is running out, but the time is now to change it. You can do it. We can do it. Ranger fans, give them everything you got. Ranger players, give it back to them. Give everything you got. Every second you're on this field, what did you want to do when you were 10 years old, when you were 15 years old, when you were 20 years old? You wanted to be a Major League Baseball player, and you wanted to play in the biggest games. The only way you're ever going to play in a big game this year is if you figure out these next 38 games how to win 24 or more of them. You can do it. We can do it. Let's do it. Go Rangers!
Yeah, applauding them in the Rangers TV booth.
It sounded like Coach Balsack showed up for about the last 2 seconds of it. That was Coach, but the Go Rangers! That was it. He definitely, he's not sure how comfortable he can get with everybody yet. So he sounded a little more like Gene Hackman in the locker before the game, the championship game in Hoosiers. Like a little more like, guys, come on, we can do it, everybody!
Go Rangers!
And then, like,
for the Yipper!
We know realistically what Bacsik wanted to say is like, take your head out of your butts and start hitting the dang baseball. I'm sick of this. Well, like that's what Mike wanted to do.
Well, we went for the Gipper, not the Yipper.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it is finally over for the hottest team in all of sports.
Pitch. Rip. That's a base hit down the left field line. The Reds have come off the mat, and they have finally,
finally beaten the Brewers. A 3-2 final score, and they will mob Austin Hayes at first base.
Reds radio with a call. Milwaukee's winning streak finally stopped at 14 games. They're 78-45 to lead the National League Central. Still only up 8 on the Cubs, and they lead Major League Baseball by 5 wins for the best record in the entire sport over Toronto and over the Tigers.
Look, it was a great run. And I mean, even still, it took them blowing the lead in the ninth inning, the Brewers, because they were up 2-1 in the ninth. Cincinnati ends up tying it there, and then they get the game winner in extras. And so, look, it all had to come to an end, but they are still so freaking good right now and so dominant in the way that they play. This was a game that, like I said, it looked like they should have won even to begin with, but, you know, it's all got to get snapped. It's all got to come to an end.
Let's go around the rest of the National Football League before we get back to the Cowboys at 7:20 with Legit or Loco in the commercial-free expressway. The Bengals, according to Tom Pelissero, are now listening to trade offers for Trey Hendrickson, not able to work out the long-term deal.
Yeah, if you're going to – look, if you're Dallas and you want to move Micah – or you want to even entertain it, you better do it before Cincinnati does anything with Trey Hendrickson. Not that they will. This could be the same sort of thing where it's just you're playing a game and you're playing the leverage game. But the fact that he reported he showed up when they weren't in, you know, that looked like that was just going to be a straight holdout. He shows up and it hasn't gotten any better. And now they're talking about exploring trades. That sounds bad. That sounds like a relationship that genuinely probably is coming to a head. And I honestly get both sides of it. I get Trey Hendrickson being where he's at and saying, I need to get paid more money. I've put up on the field. I am considered, according to these executive rankings that are out here, I'm one of the 5 best pass rushers in the National Football League now. You need to pay me. And I get Cincinnati's point of, we got a lot of people to pay, dude, and you are old. You are older. You're an older football player. And
he's 30.
But I mean, if you're talking about, they've already paid Chase. They got Higgins. They've got Burrow. Yeah. It's like, you know what? We've got enough decisions right now that you're not going to be at the top of our list.
Florio reported they have not been willing to fully guarantee more than the first year of the deal. And he's making, what, $16 million. $16 million leading the National Football League in sacks and reportedly not getting more than the first year of the deal guaranteed. How they negotiate this, the Shamar Stewart thing. You don't hear common contract complaints coming out of Cincinnati. We're like in another universe of problems.
I was going to say, which is the more frustrating position to be in? A Cowboys fan where they drag everything out and it's so clear they're being stubborn on some things? Or Cincinnati where it's like, you have no idea. It's like a roulette wheel of like, what are we going to make the issue this time? Let's right here. We're going to make it this. Yeah. Shamar Stewart, you got to accept this language no other first rounder in football is accepting.
Why did you bring up Micah timing?
Because I think that if you're going to take the, if you're Dallas and you genuinely look at this as we've got any sort of problem with the negotiation and this may eventually come to a divorce, if you think there's any chance you've got to, you need to be taking your calls right now and just see, all right, is Trey Hendrickson going to.
But if Hendrickson got a first and a second, so how is this harming me?
If you set the, we're talking about setting the floor. So a couple years ago, Legarius Sneed got a third round pick when he got traded as a corner. And Legarius Sneed was one of the better corners in the NFL. That Sneed trade hurts you now if you want to trade Diggs in terms of like what you can possibly get for him. Because people are going to say, nah, that's what Sneed is. So even if Mike is better than Trey Hendrickson, what it does is, okay, well, teams are going to say, you're not this much better than Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah, and
Trey
Hendrickson, much younger.
Right, you do have that. But regardless, it sets a floor. You don't want any floor being set right now. Right now, it's just open. You don't want to create any sort of potential comparison that a team can put out there.
But a floor can help me if someone overpays for Hendrickson.
Right. It can help or hurt either way. I'm just saying that right now, it's endless possibilities because it's Micah. And there's nobody like Micah that's been traded. So it hurts in that sense. And two, if it is a narrow market in terms of teams that are willing to give up capital right before the season to add somebody, if somebody snatches up Hendrickson, that'll continue to just narrow the market and narrow the number of suitors.
Well, I don't know what you were doing over the weekend, Bobby, but you were not reporting like your job is that Micah Parsons is about to end up on the Denver Broncos. I take you to the blooper of the week, G-bag of the week. Cynthia Freeland, sideline reporter. Doesn't she always go on KNC?
Yeah.
I think this is Cynthia Freeland on the Broncos broadcast. This is bad audio, okay? Because The local, the TV network themselves are not going to put this out because it's so humiliating. Someone grabbed this with their phone. Listen.
Cynthia Freeland down on the field.
So maybe this guy Micah Parsons in a contract that also has some question marks, let's call it that. Look, his pressure percentage last year, 19.1% per Next Gen Stat, it was the best in the National Football League despite missing games. So wherever he lands, whatever happens, maybe Micah Parsons would be, you know, a lot of fun to hang out with.
There's no doubt about that.
He'd be fun to hang out with. And here's, you know, everybody get Sean Payton some grief for saying he wants to win a Super Bowl. How about this? You got one of the best defensive ends saying Broncos have a real chance in the Super Bowl. So don't get mad at him, too.
Wow.
Why would they hang out soon with Micah? Because while saying this on the screen, they put up a quote from Micah from his podcast. Quote, "My dream destination? Denver. I would love to play for the Broncos. They already got the best defense in the league, and they have a real chance at a Super Bowl." They have Micah's face.
Are you embarrassed?
With the quote attributed to him. Meanwhile, you have Normie on social media saying, "LMAO, my bait made it on TV." This is like Brandon Cooks, George Pickens, ESPN getting fooled. The Broncos broadcast didn't say to themselves, you know, I didn't see this on any of the shows. I didn't see this as breaking news. I want to be a Bronco. I didn't hear this myself. I didn't see the video clip. And Micah Parsons has video for Bleacher Report. And they fell for it. Amazing.
Yeah. This amazing. This is not a good look. I will say, it's very easy to dupe folks these days.
Not this, though.
This is bad. But I would take this as a look. If I was not working in
look
media,
at you being an NFL network shill, your coworker Cynthia Freeland being a little defender.
No, I don't even think this is Cynthia Freeland's fault. I think this is the producer's fault. So that's what I think.
And she should cover the NFL. No,
sure.
If Micah Parsons has, she's on NFL Network.
Sure, but I mean she's analytics. Like, I mean, to me it's she's not like reporting on stuff. If I was not in media, you better believe in this day and age, I would be creating all sorts of doctored media and seeing how often I could get on TV.
Yes.
I would be doing it all the time, and I'd do it very well. I promise you, I'd be cited more often than anybody with my fake stuff.
Commanders may be shopping Brian Robinson, so maybe a running back on the move out of the NFC East. And speaking of the NFC East, oh my God, the meatballs. The meatballs on my phone with Jackson Dart. And speaking of a meatball, Bobby is in love with his style after the game. Dart goes, 14 of 16, including 13 straight completions at one point for a 137, some touchdowns. They are falling in love with Jackson Dart in New York, even though Brian Daboll said afterwards, no, Russ is still the starter.
Yeah, and none of it matters because he's not good. And this is why you don't follow the preseason as your be all end all. That's not anything you should do. And the other thing is just like, yeah, you can't accept a guy who looks like this, with his chain across his neck and his love hat and the little like Dahmer glasses that he wears.
You love Cam Newton though. Oh. You sounded like Colin Cowherd last night saying no quarterback can succeed dressed like this. You love Cam Newton and no one dressed worse than him.
Yeah, I like Cam Newton. I don't like Cam Newton as a player. I like Cam Newton as an analyst. Oh. I love him as an analyst. Cam Newton as a player looked like somebody who bought like $300 worth of VC on NBA 2K, ran out of attributes to boost, so they just started filling out their wardrobe and putting on all the wacky S they could. But he's, you can't look like that. You can't do the choker chain the little glass. No, it's such a bad look. That just tells me so much about his decision making that I wouldn't trust on the football field.
We shouldn't raise an eyebrow at all over his preseason so far.
Mm-mm, no. I mean, preseason is just, it's nice. It's a good thing to see, but I mean, it's the same thing that we talked about with Dak when Dak first came out. It turned out Dak was ready to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. But when you saw it in the preseason, you still had to say, it's the preseason. It's so limited. It's like trying to get excited about somebody in spring training where you're like, it's not going to translate necessarily. It's a nice sign. It's nice to see they're not completely struggling. But them killing it doesn't necessarily mean anything.
The Dallas Cowboys are unserious about the preseason. They're destined to go 6-11. And we got Dave Campo 2.0 at head coach. Are these legit or loco? Another edition after preseason game 2 during the commercial-free expressway with Sean and Bobby next.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Milton's going to throw on first down. He's going deep. And it's intercepted. DeAndre badly overthrew Mingo, badly. And waiting deep in the end zone was the young safety they absolutely love, Reuben Lowry.
Right after the Kemont Hall interception, Joe Milton chunks it up, overthrow, double coverage, intercepted, and the freakout follows. On DFW Sports Station, your home of the Dallas Cowboys. Pepe, did you work the game this weekend?
I did. I was here.
All right. How was like the panic? Did they take calls in the post?
They did. Yeah, you got a lot of Milton panic. But again, you had some people that are like, look, it's backups. I'm not going to hit the panic button yet. You know, it's backups playing against backups. Nothing to look for here.
How about like Zach and Broadus talking about Joe or the state of the team?
I feel like Zach was a little bit upset. You know, he's the guy that, you know, he's been the Cowboy fan since birth, you know, so he's going to hit the panic button before anyone else does. Brian was more relaxed. I thought Brad and Bobby as well, who joined the post game. I thought it was all chill there. Wasn't anything bad.
Shoddy was asked afterwards, do you guys have your backup QB yet?
Yeah, again, I feel like I don't have to decide anything today. You know, we're going to keep letting these guys practice. I just told the guys, get ready, because, you know, a couple practices this week are going to be really physical, and we have to. But it's like all these position battles. We don't have to decide anything now. I think, you know, like with the receivers, we were trying to get a good look at a couple of those guys that were fighting for those spots. And I thought a couple guys stepped up and did a nice job. I thought, you know, Florino had a couple of nice catches. Mingo made a great catch down the boundary. And then, you know, I felt like we kind of shot ourselves in the foot with penalties when we would get some momentum. And so we got to be cleaner.
So, Coach, not freaking out, not panicking, nor should he, at least at a podium with a microphone in front of his face. But this sets up legit or loco. I did this last week. I wake up the day after, I go through my tweets and the messages sent to me, and I just throw them all in a collection and say, all right, y'all tell me, these legitimate after the preseason game with the roster that's out there, or is it loco? Typical fan freak out when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. Take number one, legit or loco, you vote. Frank LaFrego, injury attorney, text line 877-881-1053. From DFW Sports Hot Takes. I include the handle. Schottenheimer not being concerned is the reason he's the coach, and the other reason they haven't had success with a Super Bowl in 30 years. I think someone called him Dave Campo 2.0 earlier in the show. Freak out on Brian Schottenheimer.
It's loco. Any hard takes on Schottenheimer coming out of this, good or bad, are too much. There's not a lot you're going to see here. And look, they've basically told you they know Joe Milton isn't ready by the fact that they're saying he's going to take like every single snap because they need him to get ready. So, no, I don't think you can take away anything particularly good or bad. They could, like I said earlier, they could have won 52-3 last week and 49-0 on Saturday, and it would have meant nothing in terms of if I thought Brian Schottenheimer was a good coach.
Tolo said Cowboys giving all the work to Milton so they can trade him for a seventh after giving up a fifth. It's the Cowboy way. I didn't double check these numbers because I don't care about the first two preseason games that much. But Rob said, kicker, 7 points. Defense, 6 points. Offense, 0. It's only preseason. Nothing to see here. Legit or loco with those numbers?
I mean, those are legit numbers, basically. But let me see. So he said 7, 6. So they scored 13 in this game. Then they scored... what it was, how much was against the Rams? It was 3 or whatever. Or no, they scored the touchdown late in the game. So no, yeah, it's bad winning that game. The offense got you absolutely, the offense got you absolutely nothing. It was the kicker and Andrew Booth. That was the only scoring you got.
Yeah, first take loco on crushing Brian Schottenheimer. And I'm not even happy with Brian after he went on KNC and not our show, breaking the 15-year run of head coaches in the morning in Oxnard. So I'm not being a homer. Curtis. Really feels like this organization is completely unserious about preseason evaluations. Every other game I watch is the complete opposite. Legit or loco?
There may be some legitimacy to that. that the idea that they I don't know that they totally use up everything at their disposal with the preseason the right way. Like I would do things different. Obviously I don't work in the NFL, so it's a little bit of just like armchair quarterbacking, but to look at it, I look at it and say, I would think there would be better value in get your starters out there for a game. Get them out there for just a series. Let me see Dak work out there with the first team. Maybe that we'll get that in the next week. I don't know. Because we did introduce a few more players into this game than we're in game one. Maybe they'll do that again for game three.
Are they just too terrified to have the season end before it begins with Dak going out there for an exhibition?
Probably, yeah.
That's just winning out. Hey, if he's rusty for the first two games, give us 0-2 versus the 2% chance he gets hurt.
If he gets hurt in a preseason game and he's lost for any amount of time, Brian Schottenheimer's getting destroyed for that. So I understand the risk versus reward of...
Well, Jerry and Steven would have to sign off on that, right?
Like, would I... No. I don't think so.
Unfair question, mm-hmm. but I'm going to ask it. That way you can get in trouble, not me. QB preseason decision pie chart with Jones's Brian.
I mean, I think a lot of times it's also player. So, like, I think it's
hard. You know Dak wants to play. He says that.
I think he wants to get in there. He likes the reps. I think if you look at what everybody, it's hard to say because I think they're all uniform in terms of what they want. But I will say that you want to talk about does the front office, the greatest example of this is Mingo. The front office wanted Mingo to play last year and McCarthy wouldn't put him out there. And so McCarthy was making that decision. In preseason, I think it is just they see it the same way that they all don't think he should play. So it's hard to say who's winning out because we haven't seen a conflict there. But to me, I think the Cowboys look at it and say, I'd rather have some rust early on than potentially miss somebody for 17 games. They're clearly hyper aware of players missing time due to injury, just the way they've talked about Micah.
I thought Schottenheimer gave a great preseason answer to All City when he sat down with my guy, Jesse Holly, and he talked about his preseason philosophy.
I wouldn't read too much into what you see in preseason football in general, but even more this year. Why? Well, we're trying to evaluate certain guys. And Joe Milton's a guy that needs to play a lot of football. He's going to play a lot of football this week and then the next week. And we're certainly being smart with what we show. And why would we do that? We would do that because this is the one chance that we'll ever have here in Dallas where we don't show people in the preseason what we're doing. Because next year, they're going to have a really good idea. They're going to have hopefully 20-plus games to look at and evaluate. This year, they don't have that. Hey, are we going to be Seattle? I don't know. Are we going to be Arizona? I don't know. Well, what about we going to be Dallas? And I kind of like that.
Yeah, it's a good answer. I like what he's saying there, and I understand the thought process behind it. And look, I'll say this. We're getting a lot of people on the fan text right now who are talking about Dak is always rusty at the start of the season. We need him to be sharper. The only other situation that parallels this almost exactly was 21, which was he missed most of the season in 20. He got into 21. He didn't play in any of the preseason games due to the shoulder muscle that freaked him out. And then he went out there against Tampa week one on the road, and he went 42 of 58 for 400 yards and 3 touchdowns. He wasn't rusty then. So I think at some point with quarterbacks, a lot of teams' approach is you've seen enough football at this point. You don't need to see more.
We'll take a couple calls after preseason game two. I just want to gauge how nuts we're going to get with this. 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053 if you want to judge after two games or just after the second game. Next one, Legit or Loco on Sean and Bobby. Choppy out on vacation this week. CP, the Cowboys have the worst depth in the NFL. That's what these games are showing us.
That's their depth is not good. I don't know if it's the worst in the NFL. It's not good. And so, I mean, that's at least in a conversation. I can't outright say it's Loco because it's not good. So it's a legitimate criticism to say that their depth is a problem. Nick Eatman told us that last week when we were saying, hey, how much have you adjusted? And he's like, I think you're really seeing how much depth they lack right now. And so it's a legitimate criticism. Worst in the NFL? I don't know. I'm sure New Orleans may be worse or somebody like that. I'm sure there is somebody worse, but it's not outright insane to say their depth is awful.
All right, hit us up on the Franklin Franco text line with star up, star down, your reviews or Legit or Loco. And then Rob, literally a $10 billion franchise, and we have a JV coach. So we already touched on Schottenheimer.
Can I say one thing that has excited me so far about this preseason, though? There's one player who has stood out to me in the games and the practices and everything else that I say that's been nothing but encouraging the whole way, and that's Marshawn Nyland. I think Marshawn Nyland has been so good in these practices. I think he showed up again in this game. The biggest concern about him was they said, all right, look, he's a run defender right now. He can be that at the NFL level. The question is, can he develop the tools? He's got the toolbox. Can he create it and become a decent pass rusher? I think you're seeing this year, he's putting it together. He's starting to develop into a guy who can pass rush at the NFL level.
Michael, you are live on the Home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Go ahead, Mike.
Good morning, guys.
Morning. What's up?
I've been meaning to call y'all for a couple weeks, I grew up a Jets fan, so I feel the pain, but I've been watching the preseason this year, and I feel like the Cowboys, and I've lived in Texas most of my life. I just was born in the Northeast, but I feel like this year the Cowboys are the worst. This is the worst version of the Cowboys I've seen in my 35 years or 25 years, whatever you want to say, you know, how long I've been watching. They don't move the line of scrimmage. And they're terrible on defense. They can't cover anybody. And so I just.
But, Michael, how much does it matter to you that it's not really the starters?
It does. It does matter a little bit. Like, I get Dax not out there that much. You know, CD, all those guys are not out there that much. Micah Parsons hasn't been out here. But, like, you still got to have cats that can play. You know, you still got to have those guys that got to come in and be able to play. And I don't see many players on this dang football team. We don't control either side of the line of scrimmage. And like I said, we can't cover a soul. And I get Diggs is out, and I get Bland hasn't played that much. You know,
yeah.
I get we got young guys playing. But there's I watch the Jets, and I'm like, they're moving the line of scrimmage. They're doing those things. They're able to cover people. We're not, you know, and it's not apples to apples, but it's still.
And, Mike, let me ask you this question. Who do you think will have a better record this year?
I honestly, just from what we got going, and quarterback's huge. Quarterback's huge. Justin Fields has got to perform for my Jets, and that's the end of the deal. But defensively, the Jets will be a better defense, but the offense may kill them, turn the ball over too much, right, and that stuff, and we'll lose more games, right? And Dak may have the MVP career we've all been waiting for. I'm not counting on it, but he may have that, and that'll push them over the top. But right now, if I was put money on it, it's not much, but I'd put more on the Jets than the Cowboys right now.
Thanks for the call, boss. Appreciate you.
I'm terrified about the defense. The defense does scare me.
Man, someone had tweeted, and again, it's coming from those fake aggregators who were not in Oxnard. DA tweeted, so if Joe Milton was cooking in practice, how bad is the effing defense? I got questions.
The defense is not.
He wasn't cooking.
No, he wasn't. That was a misrepresentation. But the defense is just, I'm concerned about the in general, we're reversing philosophy from what they have been under Quinn.
Because of the preseason and what you've seen?
No, I mean, I had some reservations just in general about what the defense was going to look like this offseason. And then I think what you've seen in the practices and some of their personnel and some of, not as much with the preseason, but obviously like a guy like Mozzie playing poorly or not showing up is going to impact some of what I think the defense can do. Some of the stuff with Jay Toia just not being consistent, a defensive tackle, has been a little concerning. My thing is I don't trust the secondary at all. I don't know what the linebackers are going to be, and I don't know consistently what they have to stop the run on the interior. Those are all big questions. And Eberflus is a different scheme. It's a different style. It's going to look more like the Rod Marinelli defenses, which you won with. You could win with those occasionally, but it's going to look more like those defenses than the ones that you had under Dan Quinn.
Five highest graded players for the Cowboys in week two. Andrew Booth, this is PFF, a 91.8. Troy Pride, Bobby, you gave him a star up, 83.8.
Did they have Joe Milton? That would seem like something they would do.
Princeton Fant, Jack Sanborn, and Ernest Brown. Also left tackle, someone that you were praising in California. Nate Thomas has allowed two pressures on 38 total snaps this preseason, 22 pass blocking reps.
Yeah, did not think he was as good this game as he was last game. In general, I didn't think the offensive line was as good as they were the last game, but it was nice to see Booker get out there and show up in the pass blocking and then continue to get better as the run game went on.
Jason in Dallas, you're on the D&M Leasing Hotline with Sean and Bobby. Go ahead, brother.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
What's up? Right.
So I'm terrified of the defense, like Bobby said. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I'm even more terrified about the depth of any position, really, because I was talking the other day, I called into the show, and this team is just one starting player being injured, and there's no depth behind it. But I've got a question for Bobby.
Hit me.
How much does it play into effect whenever, you know, we've had three defensive coordinators over the last, what, 4 years?
Mm-hmm. Three years,
you got, yeah. So you got, like, people that are, like, sponsors for a player, you know, that, like, Dan Quinn drafted this guy, and then you switch, and then Mike McCarthy Mike Zimmer doesn't like this guy, so that guy, they got no depth because all these people that have just been interchanged throughout the last 3 years.
Yeah, that can be a problem. There's no doubt about it. The guy that stands out to this, we talked about it during the pregame show the other day. Kalen Carson was a guy that the last staff really loved. I don't know that the new staff likes him. They may, but I don't know that they do. And it certainly has been a problem where when you look at coaching changes, it always impacts somebody negatively. It always helps somebody in one way, but it can impact them negatively. Terrence Steele performed really well with Joe Philbin. There were a lot of other guys on this offensive line who did not. And then when the switch was made to Solari, it's like, okay, well, there were some improvements for some guys. Tyler Smith, it was probably helpful that they went to Mike Solari over Joe Philbin. It hurt Terrence Steele. So, yeah, this sort of thing always will cause issues for guys. And that's why, as much as it makes everybody roll their eyes, and I agree with it at some points, it's why the Cowboys are so big on continuity. The idea of just like, let's look, as long as we are happy with our coaching staff and we don't think they're an outright detriment or something like that, there's a lot of benefit to just saying, let's carry over the same messaging and let everybody grow under the same philosophy.
Harrison and Mesquite, you get the final word right now during the expressway in Legit or Loco. Go ahead, Harrison.
Hey, guys. I think we're missing the secondary coach.
Al Harris?
Was it? Yeah, big time. He developed Diggs and Bland. And I can see the difference in the secondary. The first half, our defense, man, that run game that Baltimore put on us, it reminded me of last year. Man, they was running wild in the first quarter. It was no resistance. And the other two callers, I think they were good calls. The quarterback issue, man, we should have took Shador. Man, this new experiment is over with. It's crazy to me. I mean, you can't run no offense. So how can you watch the rest of your team? It's great. You may get a good pass every once in a while, but he's just an athlete. It's a difference between a quarterback and an athlete. He's just an athlete, guys. I don't see him develop.
Good call, Harrison.
Yeah, look, I mean, the traits are so rare that I understand them wanting to say, let's invest the time. It's similar to the guy I keep comparing him to. He's Joey Gallo, basically, to me. Where it's like the dude can hit 500-foot home runs and then he's going to strike out 12 times in a row too. Like it's something where you go, the traits are still so rare that you go, I got to see if I can turn him into a baseball player. I'm sorry. Like I got to put in the time on it. So I don't hate what they gave up for him. I understand it. I understand what you're trying to develop. I think Shador's got a better chance to be a good player in the NFL than Joe Milton does. Joe Milton has a chance to be a great player. Shador doesn't. Just by the traits, Joe Milton's got that chance. It's not a big chance, but it's at least there as an opportunity. So I understand the investment and why they want to give this a shot.
Tolo, Chris, before best and worst of the weekend, the phrase unserious continues to permeate this franchise. It's not just how the preseason has gone thus far, rather a continued indifference to addressing glaring holes on the team while alienating star players with prolonged tense negotiations where they ultimately completely fold. They continue to hang the hat on the franchise based on almost three decades old achievements. Based on the ages of current players, only a quarter of the roster was even alive the last time they went to a conference title game. Break the status quo. Maybe things will change. I laughed as I typed that knowing it will never happen.
Yeah, and I will say this, though. There are a lot of things you can criticize them for that I think are fair. I don't know how much they still hang their hat on we won three Super Bowls in the 90s. Like, they obviously, that's part of their legacy and different things that they're doing.
You don't think Jerry does?
No, I think Jerry is very proud of it. I think Jerry doesn't routinely look back at that. I know Steven doesn't. Steven certainly doesn't point to that very often. It's something that they'll reference and talk about. It's a trump card occasionally for them in a screaming match on the radio or something like that. Yeah. But in general, I don't think they actively think, well, we won three Super Bowls in the 90s, so clearly we know what we're doing. I think they're very frustrated by their struggles.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Last weekend, end the Rangers season. Jared Sandler will join us at 8 o'clock. Let's see what y'all did.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the weekend.
I'm having a bad fucking weekend.
This is where we recap everything you did. Good, bad, scandalous, boring, does not matter. Let us know about it on the Frank LaFranco Injury Attorney text line at 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. And I invited the Belts along Friday night to meet my brother. My brother came into town for the first time in years.
How long's it been?
I'm trying to remember like an incident or something that happened. It may have been it may have been my bachelor party.
Oh, I've heard that story.
Yeah. Well, I think you're confusing it with the night before my wedding.
Oh, that's the story I've heard.
Yeah, that's when we fought.
Oh, okay.
Physically. But no, he came into town. It was a fantastic visit. I didn't think he would actually pull the trigger because he's got two little ones at home. But he came into town, found this pizza place. You know, he's trying to be a poor man's Dave Portnoy. Went to around the Preston Hollow area, found fantastic pizza. Maybe the best pizza I have had in DFW. Took him to Bucky's. My wife wanted to take him. Anyone who comes into town, she's like, we got to go to Bucky's. He was blown away. He was amazed. He had his wife on FaceTime, and he's like, I don't know how to describe it. I don't know what to say. He ends up buying, you know, jerky and salami and getting his brisket sandwich. He said, this is pretty good brisket for a gas station. I was like, yeah. I was like, make yourself go to the bathroom because everyone talks about the bathrooms here. All the gas stations, you know, check out the Beaver. All these things. As he was impressed by Bucky's. And just to cram everything into like the 3 days he was here, two and a half, Whataburger for the first time on the way home after eating the Bucky's, and he named it. First off, my brother, he Bobby's about to tell you, he's got a lot of hot takes.
Oh, he does.
He should be on the radio with all his opinions. Best pizza he's ever had in his life, he said. Best fast food burger he's ever had in his life. I was like, all right, you just ate brisket burrito. I'll get you a single cheeseburger from Whataburger. He goes, no, I want the double.
Hell yeah.
I want the double. Took it down and named it the best fast food burger he's ever had. He said, yes, it is worth the hype. And then dinner that we had on Friday night, he said that was the best dish. The best dish. That's all I woke up talking about. The best, not just pasta, best dish he's ever had as we went to a Carbone Italian.
It was good. How bad is food in Maryland, though, that like every single thing he ate here was the best he'd ever had? Now, I agree.
Yep.
Whataburger is the best. I had it in my email. Bro Bible just did a ranking of the top 15 best late night fast food options. Number one was Whataburger. Said it's the number one best. Yeah. They said there are two kinds of people, those who agree with this ranking and those who have not eaten Whataburger. And that's the truth. Well, and now that he's had Whataburger, he can agree with it. But
well, I'll answer it with this. And this is not a shot that I'm taking. Take it for what it's worth because I like this place. But I just don't know anyone else except my father-in-law, I think, who goes there. His previous number one fast food was Arby's.
We have the meats.
And it wasn't even like the roast beef sandwich or the beef and cheddar. It was like some deli sandwich they had before Whataburger took his number one
spot.
Show
me your meat.
It's a deserving ranking. I can say that for sure. And it is disappointing he didn't go into the bathrooms, though, for the look at how clean they are. That is the first thing I said to him when he said he went to Bucky's. I was like, did you go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
Because that, to me, is the most stunning thing about it. But he sounds like he's really excited to be back. He said every 6 months from now on.
That's what he said.
He said it's going to be every 6 months, mainly because I think he really wants the tennis match with me, and he wants to find out. So
yeah, we fooled him bad, Peyton.
Yeah, I don't. It's not a bit. Like obviously, I tell you guys how good I am at golf, but he started talking about tennis, and I just started going like, oh yeah, I'm really good. Sean won't play me, and he's like, Sean won't play. That's not like Sean. Sean's not normally intimidated. I was like, that should tell you what I've put out there, man. Yeah. And so he immediately turned over to Sean. He's like, you won't play him? And Sean's like,
and he's like looking at Bobby's physique. You can tell he's like trying to be nice. He's like looking Bobby up and down. And he's like, you destroy my brother in tennis?
Yeah.
Kill him?
I was like, I mean, I would. He won't play me. He's scared. And so he's like
going for a while.
He mentions how like he's like for instance, he's like, Roy was really good at tennis. He's like, but I'd beat him. I was like, well, I played Roy. I beat him 6-0, 6-1. And he just like, his whole mood changed. And he was like,
Oh, Bobby's bringing up the scores now, the terminology. He's got it down.
He's like, whoo. He's like, okay, like that makes me pause a little. He's like, what kind of a player are you? Are you big on your serve? I was like, basically, it's just my serve. You're not going to hit it back. If you can return serve, maybe you got a shot.
Yeah, because Bobby couldn't name any of the other strokes. So he's like, it is the serve.
Yeah, I had to say that one because I didn't have anything else to pull. I was like sitting there as I was talking to him. I was like, pulling up my phone. I was like, gosh, I got to like find tennis terminology.
Yeah. Right.
The only other one that was coming to my head was let. That was it. That was the only other one. And that did not make sense to say. That didn't make sense to say within the course of our conversation. So I was like, crap, how do I work this in to sound like I know what I'm saying?
But then I felt like I was ganged up on. Like my brother, he is a sports talk aficionado. And, you know, he's always listened to this show for a long time. So he loves to just get all the dirt dug up on me and how unfair I am as, you know, someone running the show and how I just bully this and that. And he wanted Bobby to join his side.
Peyton, it was, you would love it, Peyton, because I'm not joking. I don't know that a single topic came up in the entire evening that he didn't want to fight about at least a little.
And you normally that's you.
I know, but no, so that's...
You were very chill.
That Kristen said after I was like, man, I was like, he really wants to mix it up over everything. She's like, that's you. And I was like, no, it isn't.
Yeah. That's what I said. My brother talks so much. I had to get Bobby out to cancel the talking. I wanted to sit back and relax. And I was like, Bobby can talk.
Yeah.
They'll click. They'll talk. So I don't have to hear my brother talk every damn minute, every minute of every hour of every day.
It was good. He we talked about movies. We talked about music.
I everything's a rating.
Yeah.
Everything is 7.4. It was a 9.3. This is 8.6. Yeah. Everything is a judgment with a rating with him.
Well, and he's like, what are your top three movies of all time? He just like threw that out of nowhere. And I like answered it instantly. He's like, most people don't just have that ready.
Yeah. He was so happy when you texted him like your movie list the next morning.
But he was not happy when I included one in their movie called City of God. I was like, now it's like in Portuguese. So you're going to have to watch subtitles. He's like, I'm not watching that.
No.
He's like, Sean's not watching that either. He's like, we're not going to watch it. He's like, I'm just telling you, we're not doing that. I was like, you're missing out. He's like, I think I'll live. I'm not watching it.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. All right, fine. You don't have to do that. But so it was a good time. I enjoyed it.
We pregame cigar lounge. Then we went to dinner, I basically brought him over. Eric DaCosta, the Ravens GM.
Well.
And he was sitting there and this is how buzzed I am. I'm like, what's he doing here? And Bobby's like,
why would he be here?
They're like, they're playing the Ravens tomorrow.
He's making a trade to get Micah.
Yeah. He's like, he came here to finish the deal with Micah.
Let me tweet it out.
Let me tweet it out. Nail that report again. I tried to say what's up to Eric DaCosta, who I had on my little Maryland show back in the day. And then the sign of growth from the belts as Amanda, once she starts going, she's like, where's the next place we can go? Let's go to a club. Let's go to a bar. Let's go to something else. And we go to our spot, Colombian Country Club. Tolo Nick runs it. I'm telling you, it's our favorite spot. It's an awesome like little lounge with live music. Love the place. Colombian Country Club. Nick took care of us. And my brother thought he was walking into the Goodfellas scene. He thought he was so impressed because, again, we're little bum F Maryland with 10,000 people. And he thought we were being walked in special through the kitchen. Or we were walking in swingers because we got taken care of and we're getting taken to separate bathrooms and all this stuff. But Bobby and Kristen, now it's not unusual for Bobby not to go to the final spot because he's got other work with another job. A lot of times we can get Kristen to go.
Mm-hmm.
But Kristen's like, no, I'm going to go home with my man.
Yep. So we, I was digging in. See, I was thinking as soon as I was like, nah, I was like, I'm not going to the next spot. And then immediately your brother was just like, Yusuf, he was like, he's going to bully you. This is what he does. He bullies people to go to the next place.
Yeah.
He's going to bully. And I was like, nah, I'm not going to. I was like, I can tell he doesn't want to stay out much longer. Yeah. I was like, if he wanted to stay out much longer, he would.
Yeah.
But he's not trying it. So that tells me he really doesn't want to stay out. How long did you stay over there?
Way too long.
So it was longer than you were
miserable,
saying.
Miserable the next morning. Miserable. But no, you know, my wife thought maybe, you know, Kristen was irritated with me because I, you know, volleying back and forth with her. I don't really trying to make her eat seafood, even though she's allergic.
She
to
loved
everything.
It. She loved the calamari. She was telling the girls the next day she ate it, and they were like, "What is that?" And when she told them it was squid, they almost lost their minds.
So the best was, you know, the time with my brother, and then the worst was the hangover Saturday morning. It was awful. Best and worst, Bob.
The worst occurred that night, and the worst is it happened again. I don't know why I bring it up and hurt myself. whenever I bring it up every time. I'll bring it up around Amanda, and I'm just hoping she's changed her mind.
Oh, man. I told her this was... She's tuning in probably right now.
She still says Choppy's funnier than me. And it makes me so mad.
Hey, this shatters him.
It destroys me. And then it made it even worse that your brother's like, Choppy is funnier than you.
Yeah,
and I was like, no. And he's like, but you, look, he's like, you're really good at your job. Yeah. You're like, I have no criticism with the way you do things out there. I was like, I would rather you tell me I'm awful and that you thought I'm funny. Yeah. This means nothing to me. That's great that you think I'm good and I deserve awards from a judge. Tell me I'm funny. I'd rather have that. I'm funnier than RJ. That's what I know.
So last night in Bobby's email, he's like, there's just no objective way to say RJ's funnier. I'm reading this out loud to Amanda. She goes, there's just no objective way to say Bobby's funnier. And here I am in the middle. I'm like, well, Bobby's got like a intelligence comedy and he does a lot of the writing and she's not hearing it. And RJ is frat boy meathead funny, but you do know. If I asked for 100 text messages right now, RJ would probably kill you.
I don't think he'd kill me.
Okay, I think it would be...
Also, it's hard to tell because 70, half 30. Of the things, half of the jokes Choppy tells on the air lately are things he's stolen from me in the commercial break. Which are things I said. Like, we did that during Crosstalk last week. We come back, we said something, and then he's like, it's probably Dawson's oozing all over the chair. And he, like, looks around for laughs. I'm like, I just said that to you 60 seconds before we got back on the air,
RJ. He's a thief.
He is
a content
shamelessly.
Thief. Wow. Yeah, he's a content
shamelessly.
Thief. And then the Cowboy game?
So the Cowboys game was great. So I was there. I had won sweet tickets as part of, like, we do the raffles, give them away. So I was like, oh, okay, I got
How
sweet
are
tickets.
How are you able to win those? You work for the team, Bobby.
No, I don't work for the team. I work for the fan. No, but I it's part of the office thing. I won the raffle, and so it was cool because it was preseason game. I got to actually like sit and watch the game with them for most of the time.
So refreshing.
So, but the cool thing was I was doing my pregame hit, and I'd said something about them being with me, and Tim Collins, hey!
Tim Collins!
He says, he's like, I've got a couple extra field passes. Do y'all want to go down? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Wow. Give them to me. Thank you. And so he gives them, he gets them over to me, and we got to go downstairs, and Aiden's got the video here. Laura was so excited. She got to meet DeMarvian Overshown on the sideline. And all she had was a little pencil and her little notebook paper that she has. But she was just like, I want to get an autograph. And so she got her, as you'll see up there, he was like, well, it's cool. We'll make it work. So nice. He signs with a little pencil and he got her autograph. And she was so thrilled. She also got Jesse Holly's autograph. That was a very big deal to her. But it was good. Her being able to get down there and experience it and be around it. And
nice.
And Addison was being a little too cool for school. She was a little like, yeah, you know, it's cool. But she was trying not to freak out too much. The thing Laura loved the most, the equipment guys, like the league equipment guys who have the balls hurting and everything like that, they will go around and they'll play catch with some kids who are there. And you'll see, there you go. There's the DeMarvian Overshown signature there in pencil. She was like, can you get me a safe so I can put this somewhere?
A safe?
She wants a safe now.
Wow.
So, but the equipment guys came over and they pulled her onto the field and like played catch with her and let her throw the football and stuff. So she loved it. It was a fantastic time. Loved it. And it was good to hang out with them for a game.
Pay, best and worst.
So this is a best right now, but it could be a worse. You know, look, I don't find myself as like a big money problems guy. You know, I think I'm financially, you know, I can manage money pretty well. But I might be going
down
to
a casino every month.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, once a month is fine, especially when I'm winning. Look, so I signed up for a new credit card back in April because it had rewards points where like, if you spent, you know, $4,000 in 4 months, you get, you know, 100,000 bonus points, which is equivalent to $1,000 in cash that just showed up in my bank account. And so I used that and I was like, okay, like I'll, you know, there's rewards points on this card that I'll use. And then I figured, okay, well, next year I'm going to be traveling some. I have my bachelor trip. I have another friend's bachelor trip, another wedding in Mexico later on that year. So I'm going to be doing some traveling. I'm like, well, I need to get rewarded for this. I don't have an American Airlines credit card to get rewarded for the mileage and everything. And then I saw that American Airlines had a deal going where you get 80,000 bonus miles, which is equivalent to like $1,200. Yeah, I could use towards flights. And I was like, okay, well, I'll sign up for this. Now, there is an annual fee of $90, but it's the second year. The first year is free. So I'm going through all the numbers. I'm like, hold on. I think this is a steal of a deal for me because I pay every credit card off. I've never just paid the minimum. I've never had a late fee or anything. So I'm thinking, okay, if I continue to pay for these credit cards on time, don't get hit with any fees, like what stops me from continuing to go get the next credit card with the biggest deal? Am I crazy for this or am I going to eventually have problems down the line? Because my credit score is amazing right now.
Amazing. Look at you.
I'm terrible with this stuff. I need a new credit card and I get overwhelmed by the options and what would fit best for me.
I'm the absolute worst with credit card rewards and everything else. I don't know that I've ever cashed any in, or if I don't know. I don't even know how to look and see what I have rewards for. I have no clue. It's a total waste. And yeah. I use it. I have no idea how to actually, like, I've never actually looked and seen what I get with it.
Yeah. This is for the fan text giving you all the advice and to tweet. And I did tweet out the poll. Bassmaster said, please do a funny poll for all four of you.
Okay, the fan text right now is like maybe 60-40 Chop, but it's like it's close to like 50-50. Right. And by the way, like if you think Choppy's funny, he stole my material, so I still win in the end.
Did this Toronto series basically end the Rangers season? Jared Sandler joins us next.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.